So the last time I got to preach, we were doing a message on called Speak the Truth. And over the years, you know, if you've been around the church, particularly any kind of charismatic evangelical type church, in the last 40 to 50 years, a lot of things have come about, new teachings, new revelations. Some of them came about that weren't quite so right on the money. Like blab it and grab it, name it and claim it, right? I believe you can claim the things that are yours. You can call forth things that are not, because that's what the Bible says faith is. But you can't call forth somebody else's house. You can't call forth a person to be the spouse for your son or daughter. Unless God has already said that, and then it's still not your place to call them forth. God has given me the benefit of showing me who my daughter-in-laws would be. I never told my sons until later. But God told me who they were going to be when I met them. Like the first times I met them. And so I've had that benefit, but I never claimed them. There was one time in life I was on somebody's name it and claim it list. They were claiming me as their son-in-law. Well, you need to get a pretty daughter. I'm just going to be honest. Men, yeah, thank you. We look. I sent my wife, my beautiful, loving wife, this meme last night. Those of you remember the Goonies? And you had Chunk and what was his name? Sloth, yes. I knew who would know it. And he says, "You're going to come live with me now because I love you and I will take care of you." And he was me and Chunk was her. And that's how they put it, is my wife speaking to me. She says, "Honey, I'm sorry. But if you'd have looked like that..." And I said, "Well, thank you." But the reality is we all look at someone. There is something that attracts us to them. She had her own uniquenesses. But the reality was she was never supposed to be my wife. Nobody could claim me, because that's witchcraft, folks. Even witchcraft knows they can't do that. But yet the church tried to do it. So we have to speak forth truth. I told you last week, gave you several examples in Proverbs. Tells us to speak and declare righteousness. And those who speak truth are the delight of God. What truth? We're supposed to speak the truth of God. I can call forth godly daughters. But I can't say, "That girl is my son's wife." Even though God showed me twice, I never once said, "That's their wife." I just prayed for them. You can't call forth a car you can't afford to maintain. "Lord, I really want that Mercedes. You know, oh boy, that's a sharp car." Do you know how many Mercedes-Benz you're seeing sitting in people's driveways because they can't afford to fix them? Back in the 90s, the early 90s, you remember seeing those windshield wipers on the headlights? The headlights. It was $100 for that blade in the 90s. What do you think it is now? And if you buy a brand new Mercedes-Benz, unless you get one of the economical ones, you buy, let's say, a 500 SL, you're paying a gas guzzler's tax. And in the 90s, it was about $20,000. Think about that. Are you ready to pay for that tax? That's not the value of the car. "Well, I want God to, for me to have everything God wants." Well, maybe God wants you to have a nice car, but maybe it doesn't have to be a Mercedes or a Bentley. They're beautiful. I mean, don't get me wrong. The cars I'm mentioning, they're beautiful. Bentleys, Rolls Royce, Maybachs, Mercedes, they're gorgeous. People have put a lot of time into the design, just like God did us. And so we look at them, and I think, oh yeah, but the reality is they're made by flawed human beings, and they are about as unreliable as any other car. So if you can't afford to fix it, don't claim it, all right? That's all there is to it. But we need to know what God has to say about our lives. I got the chance to, I've been watching these video clips of, I'm going to try to say his name correctly, Nick Vujicic. Anybody know who I'm talking about? He's got no arms or legs. He's got a foot and two toes. Now you know who I'm talking about. He's from Australia. But he was talking about, and he goes, he's got a ministry. He tells people about Jesus. And he said, when I was a child, when I was younger, he said, I just kept saying, Lord, give me arms, give me legs. He said, all God gave me was a foot with two toes. And he wobbles around up there on his stage, on his platform. And he said, that's all I ever wanted, just so I could be a witness to for Jesus. See, he got hold of something that a lot of people think, that the body has to be whole in order for you to be able to be a witness. But by him being as he was still able to be just as good of a witness, if not better, because he was who he was. I always just wanted to be 6 foot. I got stopped 4 inches shy. And then somewhere along the line, this thing called gravity and age has kicked in, and it's like, I'm not as tall as I was. I'm getting heavier, but I'm not as tall. See, I'm telling you, I'm just under short. Or under tall. Under short, yeah. That would be great, wouldn't it? But all I ever wanted to be was 6 foot tall, so people would respect me, maybe fear me. Well, you got to remember, how many of you remember how much you weighed as a 10-year-old in the fifth grade? Anybody remember about how much you weighed? Did you weigh 75 pounds? Johnny, what'd you weigh? I know you knew, have an idea. I was 50 pounds. I was 75 pounds in the seventh grade and 95 in the ninth grade. I was on this end of the weight, the wrestling thing. And it's like, okay, what's going on here? I was just tiny. All I ever wanted to be was normal, big. So that's all I ever wanted, not realizing God needed me to be who I am. Everybody wanted me to be somebody else. And that's all I saw. Not to be happy with who I am, but who they wanted me to be. And so I grew up with that. My nickname meant small. Come on, you sabotaged me from my childhood. And so God said, I got to do something for you, boy. He blocked all my plans. I saw it was something from The Chosen. And I think it was Simon the Zealot showing Jesus a knife. Oh, and it said, my plans. That's nice. Yeah. Throws it in the lake. He says, you didn't expect that, did you? My plans weren't what I ended up doing in my life. I was going to go work with my dad, get some experience under my belt, be a groundman. Then I was going to go to Allbat and be a lineman. I was going to make big bucks. Well, that didn't happen. I built some fences for a little bit and baled some hay and did some other odd jobs for that year, scrapped. And then finally I was like, okay, God, I got to see what I'm smart enough to do. So I took a test. Man, I got a 90 on my ASVAB. Recruiter looked at me and said, you can be whatever you want to be. All right. Came back. I'm a diesel mechanic. I've never touched a diesel except to put fuel in the tank. How does it exactly work? But God sent me there, and it wasn't because I needed to learn how to be a diesel mechanic. It was never really my thing. God sent me there to realize when I'm standing there in this formation, they're just like me. There's about 20 guys out of 80 that are taller. But the rest of us, 5'9", 5'8", 5'7", and we even had some right around 5'3". They had to get waivers. We were all small. And what God did was he brought something out in me. He had to rebuild what took 19 years of growing. He had to cut that out. Because I said, told people, I said, at this point, I'm not that person anymore. I left him in the sand at Paris Island in all the blood, sweat, and tears. I'm not that person anymore. And so I grew. And I am today who I am because of God. Because I quit trying to see myself through everybody else's eyes. Try to be so-and-so. Oh, you need to be more like Pastor Bob, don't you? No, I don't want to be Pastor Bob. You don't want me to be Pastor Bob. Well, brother, don't you think you ought to be like Billy Graham? No, I don't. I want to be me. I want to be who God made me to be. And I got to start believing that to speak that out. God did not make me to be somebody else's footstool. Somebody's whipping boy. That's not going to happen. I'm not a passive person. You can ask my wife. I'm not a passive person. I will let you run, and then I'll watch God pull that leash on you. You'll hit the end of that run, and your legs will fly off from underneath you, and you'll land on your back. What's going on? God said, quit running. He says, you're fighting against me. Paul thought he was doing a good thing, didn't he? He's going, yeah. Did you ever get that? He said he was breathing murders. He was fuming at the mouth at how angry he was, but he was fuming from a religious fervor of the things he was going to do to these Christians. And God shows up on the road to Damascus, blinds him. Now we know where Manfred Mann got the song, Blinded by the Light. And he said, boy, why are you kicking against the pricks? Nobody ever figured out Jesus called himself a prick. Because it doesn't mean what we've perverted it to mean. It was a sharp stick. Look on all the old forts and they got these logs and sticks and they got points on them. That's a prick. And they stayed away from those sides of the walls because people got impaled. They died against them. He was pretty much letting him know, today, Paul, you have the opportunity to continue to kick against me or die. Choice is yours. Paul began to speak the truth. He saw the truth. He began to speak it. What's the truth in God's word for you? He tells us about faith, about calling forth things that are not as though they were. Here's something we have forgotten so much in our lives. So let me get crazy before I get crazy. Matthew chapter 17. Oops, got to turn that on. Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. I'm going to tell you right now, if I move a mountain, you just better watch it. Because you think I'm cocky now? I just moved a mountain, Jack. Or I told that sycamore tree to pull itself up by its roots and throw itself into the sea. And it did it. Look at me. Here's the reality of the truth. Jesus was giving us a great example. First thing he said is, you have faith as the mustard seed. Now, we've always said, oh, that's how much faith, teeny tiny. Yes, it only takes a drop of faith in a new area. If God has already taken you down that road, you should have that little bit plus the bit you gained. Okay? You shouldn't always be running around with a mustard seed of faith. It's a starting point, not a living point. But here's the reality of what he said about a mustard seed. I used to have some up here in the thing, and they're teeny tiny little seeds. You're like, seriously? It grows a great big bush. Inside that mustard seed, we'll use the term DNA for it, is the DNA for a mustard plant. Not a grapevine. Oh, but I'm a mustard seed. But look, everybody loves grapes. They love to eat grapes. They make wine and juice out of grapes. They make jelly out of grapes. Ooh, I want to be what everybody wants. Until you're eating a bratwurst. I don't want grape jelly on my bratwurst. I want mustard. Or my bologna sandwich. Especially fried. Maybe get some brown mustard on there. Get a little spice to it. You see, we want to be somebody else other than what we are, who we are. Our lives made us who we are, and God knew that. Do we wish that things could have been better? Absolutely. I talked to a young man one time, and he was telling me about about his life and about how he was raised. And what the affection that was given to him was not the same. And how he just really felt neglected. But he said, I realized later in my life that had I been raised any other way, I would have died in combat. But what was in me, because of the way I was brought up, allowed me to persevere. He said, this is nothing. This ain't nothing. We keep coddling people. Oh, but you know, I don't want you to go through hardships. Jesus said, it's impossible for that to happen. I want to know that that bridge can handle the weight load. I want to know that building can take the wind. So it's got to be pressured. It's got to be tested. The Burj Khalifa, I forget how far out that thing sways. I'm like, there's people that go up there, you know, so I think it was Will Smith went up there and they actually put one of the stewardesses from the Arab airline. Can't think of the name of it right now. It's really fancy. They got beds and everything in it. It's expensive to fly on. They put her on the top of that thing and it sways, I think it sways like 10 feet up there. I don't like climbing this telephone pole out here and having it do this. I'm like, that's only 20 feet from the ground, let alone being the tallest building in the world, knowing that I'm sitting on top of sand. Yeah, I know how they built it. They drove all these foot pilings down to the bedrock. But up until then, it's all sand and a lot of concrete, and it's man-made. I just don't trust it. But you see, I want to know that you're tested. That's what Jesus, I know, he says, I know you need to be tested. As a father, I got to listen to another preacher talk about this last night, and I sent it to, shared it with her about it. And it's like, this has been my whole thing in my entire adult life about raising my sons. I'm raising men, not to be little boys. Yeah, they're going to slip, the clutch is going to slip a little bit when they get out. And they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, you got too much power and the rear end goes one way and you're trying to get it back around. And then they finally get it. And they can keep it between the white lines. We're to raise men and women. Moms and dads, don't forget your daughters. But I spoke into them what I wanted them to be. And I told them, I'm not raising you to be a little boy. I'm raising you to be a self-sufficient man. And if I did my job well, I'll know it. Goes into a whole nother message, but we need to speak forth the truth of God. Mustard seed can't change who it is. But I want to be a sequoia. Woohoo! Big whoop-de-doo. So what? I'd like to be a strawberry plant, personally. They're good, and some of you may not like them. But I love strawberries, and they produce lots of fruit. And people most generally want them. But they only produce once a year unless you have a different variety. Our truth has got to line up with the Word of God. I can't just be who I want to be. I tried that once. This is who I want to be. God said, you can do that, but here's my will for you. You get in my will, and I'll open doors. You stay in your will, in your pride. What's the Bible says? He resists the proud. That's the defensive line standing up against you. And you can't get through them. You can't score. You can't move. You can't do anything. Because you're not in the will of God for your life. Well, God once said I could be a millionaire. Well, good for you. Did he really? Well, that's what the preacher on TV done did said. God said, I'd rather have you holy. See, here's the problem. I heard this message years ago and heard a preacher say, God, Jesus taught more about money than any one subject in the Bible. Not one time did Jesus say, you need to seek it. He said, trust me. Money is a root. It leads to a lot of wickedness. Well, I wouldn't do that. I would give my church its 10% and I would do this and I'd help the homeless and I'd help them and I'd do all this and I'd just be a good person with it. Until you went to Vegas, right? Because you're going to go to Vegas at some point. Don't tell me you're not. Because you will end up there. I personally have, there's a couple things in Vegas I want to see, and they have nothing to do with the Strip. There's a Shelby Museum out there, and there's a few other places like that. That's all I care to go to Vegas to ever see. Unless I do what Joe and Faye did and fly into Vegas, rent a car, and go to the national parks. I have no desire to be limoed around. I like driving. I could never be president, so there we go. Because they're not allowed to drive afterwards. Even when they're not the president anymore. Forget that. God's word tells us who we can be. Loving, kind, generous, strong. Lovers of our families. Lovers of our brothers and sisters. Those are the kinds of things. And if you see a brother in need and you can fill that need and God tells you to fill that need, then you fill that need. We get sad stories all the time here. Oh, you just don't know what I'm going through. Let me ask, what are you going through? Well, my car broke. Anybody got a car that broke? Come on, let's see them all. I want to get the hands up just so I know I'm in good company. We've all had a car that broke, and it was your only way to work. And you had to figure it out. But guess what happened? You figured it out. Because God wants to start engaging our brains. Oh, but this is what you're for. No, it's not. The church is actually not for anything that it's been turned into. It's for the building up and the edification of the saints. That doesn't mean we don't help people. It doesn't mean we don't show compassion. It just means that's not the purpose. But neither is building an empire unto art. Don't care. And I'm not going to go splitting. And God told me the other day, he said, you don't need to be looking at people anymore like that. They're my employees. I'll take care of them. I said, okay, Lord. I may not agree with things that are said, things that are done, but you know what? They aren't my servants. But Jesus has warned us time and time again. Yes, we can be wealthy, but eventually you will use that wealth. You will use that power to control something or someone. Oh, I would never do it. You want to bet? I've had people threaten to take their tithes. I just won't tithe anymore. Do you seriously think I preach for your tithe? I have absolutely no problem. You want to keep it? I dare you. How's that? Some of you have tithed. You know exactly what happens. Didn't expect the engine in my car to blow up. Yeah, God's been holding that thing together. You mean bad things will happen? Well, he said, I'll bring blessing into your life if you do it. So what do you think? He resists the proud. And when people threaten things like that, that's exactly what he does. And he doesn't have to do it. But us speaking forth the truth, he's compassionate. God's not a jerk. But there is a point where God says enough is enough. Enough is enough. The Roman Empire met its end. Even after it had accepted Christianity. But the problem is, when the Roman Empire accepted Christianity, Christianity was no longer pure. Because it got mixed in with all the religions of the Roman Empire. We now had a certain hierarchy that was set up. There was no longer real faith. Lord Jesus, I will follow you to the ends of the earth, if that's what it needs. Sometimes God just needs you to go across the street. Maybe he just needs you to go down to the gas station. For one, you're like, I don't need gas. He said, that's not what I said. Just go to the gas station. Because somebody else does. Oh, but I don't like filling up my own tank. I kind of feel you there. But my faith isn't in the fact that the gas prices come down or go up. My faith is in God will fill my tank. So when we speak forth things, we can declare our children holy and righteous, but you need to understand your children may have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And guess what? You know, we become a generation. We just want obstacles removed, don't we? We want nice, smooth roads. But the second we get a pothole, we got to slow down. We start griping. I don't know why they let these roads get like this. Well, they ain't going to pay them to fix it right now. Till that ground is done freezing and thawing. Slow down. Learn to drive around them. I remember the first time I was teaching somebody how to drive. Later found out that was illegal because I was only 18. You have to be 21. And I was in the car with him and he's driving. I said, hey, there's a pothole over there. He swerved to go over the pothole over there. Instead of just shifting over to my side, we hit the whole thing. Because he didn't want to slow down. All he had to do was, that car didn't last long. We'll just leave it like that. We need to speak forth life and truth. I told you a while back, God began to deal with me about cursing. He said, blessing and cursing. I know. It's not the same thing of what we're talking about. And I curse this. I bind this. Jesus said, if you bind the strong man, you've got to bind him in the power of God. I always picture Jesus up there with handcuffs, slapping them on him and leading him away. But you have to loose forth the power of God. Life. God is life. God is light. The exact opposite is darkness and death. So if you're in a situation, I don't know how to pray. Pray for life. And as I was telling you, I believe the last time I preached, that God is, there's been times God's told me people were going to die. I had somebody that last Saturday, I got a call. So-and-so's in the hospital, they're dying. And I knew in my spirit they were going to die. But this person, you need to understand, if there is, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is just such a gray area, but honestly, it is speaking against the Holy Spirit. Some people say that it is giving credit to the devil for the things the Holy Spirit has done. And if that is indeed what it done, this person has indeed blasphemed the Holy Spirit because they were a necromancer. If you don't know what that means, that meant they held seances. Okay. And I knew this person was going to go just instantly. It was like, they're going to die. But instead of rising up, we're blessed God, that's what they get. Hallelujah, Jesus is true. No, I said, Lord God, if there's any way, this person is unconscious right now, but they are still in that body. If there's any way for them to repent to you, then help them through this. Help them repent. That person died. But I knew they were going to die. But out of that person's deceit, that person's lust for things of this world and the evil powers, there has been a restoration in that family of a child that has not been spoken to by most of that family since 1981. I know because I was the last one to see him. He's my cousin. The lies I heard about him from his own father. He's a homosexual. He's a drunk. Everything he could throw at him, he did. Come to find out, he has said, yeah, I partied when I was in college. I just wanted to know who my dad was, who my family was. That's why he was calling them. He was seeking. Let me tell you something, what God did. God turned that boy around. That boy is an attorney. He is not just an attorney. He is an attorney for the National Nazarene Conference. Not just a little local diocese. The whole shooting bang. God took that boy out of a situation. Gave him a life. Now, I do not rejoice. And my hope is that man repented. But we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, you need to speak forth the word of God, but you need to listen to God about what's going on. Sometimes things have to happen. But understand this, God did not cause all those bad things to happen in your life. People make decisions of their own lust, of their own capability. It's the only way they knew how to deal with it. And that's where we have to get to forgive. We have to forgive. It's not an option. Because here's the thing, if we do not forgive, the Bible says our sins come back. They come back to our charge. Anybody really want your own sins coming back? Don't know about you, but I don't. No, thank you. I don't need to pay a price that I could never pay to begin with. for your family. Speak life, speak truth. But understand, they're going to have some rough rows to hoe. You know, I mean, I know you guys had a hard time getting pregnant, and then when you did, they tell you, oh, the baby's going to have club legs and club feet and all this stuff. And yeah, he had to wear casts a little bit longer than he was expecting to, right? But as I saw him tearing through here earlier, God is faithful. And I know your parents didn't want you to go through that. But I'm not your parent. But I've been in your shoes. And I knew that your faith will override the fear. See, that's what we have to understand as parents. Sometimes we have to be hands off. And that's something that's hard. You take this little defenseless baby, and next thing you know, it says, I'm getting married. I got a kid on the way. And you got to say, huh, where'd it go? Where did the time go? And you have to say, okay, here you are. Jesus, they're in your hands. I trust you. I can't control them. I mean, for crying out loud, I had three boys. They were hard to control half of the time. The downside is when they started telling some of the stories on themselves before they got out of the house. It's like, okay, the first thing you need to understand is you never admit to anything until you have your own home. Speak life and truth over your family. I didn't know it was going to go to the family today, but speak life and truth over your family. They run. They can run and they can fight hard. Do you know how many actors in the last 5 years have given their life to Jesus? I've heard some of them preach, say some things. And there's those of people that are atheists. Well, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. Joaquin Phoenix. Some of you others. But you know what? Jared Leto got saved. Jim Carrey found God. That's a... I'm like, okay, man, because I hate to admit it. I like Jim Carrey. My kind of dark humor. But he got a little gross sometimes. But you know what? He's a child of God too. Because somebody prayed for him. If we pray for life in our children and ask God if we're supposed to intervene, sometimes there is. If your child's being swept away in a destructive flood, you're just going to stand there and watch them go by. You're going to try to get them out of there, even if it costs you your life. Speaking truth is not speaking lies. I've told you this before about declaring yourself healed. Your faith should say, I am healed. Not, I my arm is not broken. No, my arm is healed. Not, I don't have cancer and tell people that. And you got this great big growth on the side of your head. Now you're delusional. Your faith, statement of faith should be a truth. I am healed. That's why the word says, and any be sick among you, call for the elders of the church and they shall pray. And they shall pray the prayer of faith. Shall save them. There's time. Sometimes God uses a doctor. Sometimes that cancer falls off. Don't know. All I know is I've seen people that were supposed to be dead live for another 10 years, and people that were declaring faith or what they thought was faith, I think a lot of them give it up. They give up a fight because they get tired. battling the same fight over and over. It's tiring. It's not my job to figure out why. But it's my job to declare God's truth and God's life. And here, surprise, surprise, none of us know truly what happened in the situation. Well, I was there, yeah, but you aren't them. I don't tell my kids everything. I don't even tell my wife all this sometimes when I'm struggling with something. I just keep it shut up. It's kind of what guys do, isn't it? I am healed. I am delivered. I am whole. Yeah, I've got an appointment this week with a vocal specialist. That's God. I'll tell you that right now. That is God. Doctor told me all this, what you got, we call the preacher's curse. Except he said, you're abnormal. Your vocal cords aren't moving. He said, they are contracted. Well, then that means it's not the preacher's curse. Because you said I'm abnormal. And if it was the preacher's curse, you'd know what that looked like. But I am healed. And I am whole. And if God has to use a vocal specialist, so be it. I just know I've seen God move miraculously in so many other areas. I don't care how he does it, whether I have to drink a bottle of KO Pectate or I just walk away, healed and whole. Either way, the outcome is the same. I'm walking away healed and whole. All right, let's stand. Some of you may have the opportunity this week to begin to put that into practice about speaking truth. Prices are going to go up a little bit. I saw where one company, CertainTeed in particular, has already said their prices are going up 10%. I believe they're a Canadian company. You need to double check everything. By the way, Owens Corning is American. Buy Owens Corning shingles. There you have it. But trust God. But brother, you don't know what it's doing to my retirement. So? Yeah, there you go. Trust God and go through this thing. You just got to trust God in everything, because the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, and we all know this, it's just a piece of paper. For now, they want to get us away from that piece of paper so that we got something on a computer screen that somebody can set alt, control, delete. There went your entire 50 years of working. Think about that for a second. You got to trust God. I know some of you, I just like, oh, man. I trust God all the time. You think the crap going on in Europe doesn't kind of get me a little, a little excited? Jesse's in God's hand. I'm not worried about it. Ain't worried about it at all. Because I watched God change that boy's orders. He was on an amphibious assault ship heading out with the Marines. I looked at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, oh, that's not a good ship to be on if I'm wanting you to be safe. But I knew you'd be safe regardless. So God said, here you go, boy. Well, why do you think God did that? Same reason he sent me to the Philippines instead of letting me go to the desert. I needed to hit somewhere. And when you hit that point, God can use you. By the way, he hit the point. Love you, Jess, if you're listening. But understand, folks, speak truth. Oh, Lord Jesus, my child shall not go into combat. No, Lord Jesus, I thank you, your hand is upon my child when he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. He will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort him. For you have trained him as a youth. You have taught his hand how to battle, and his hands to war, and his fingers to battle. And no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Instead of worrying and fear, making yourself sick, raising your blood pressure. Bless God, you go in and you kick butt and you take names. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that it is truth. Lord, I pray for all of us in here today. Lord, those watching at home, Father, that you stir in us your word, Father. You stir the things that we've forgotten that we know about you. Lord, forgive us for allowing fear to rule. Father, I thank you that you're moving mightily in our lives. Father, you're bringing a resolution where there was no hope. Father, that in these uncertain times, and they've been uncertain for quite some time, that in these uncertain times, Lord God, you are our shalom. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. So, Father, I thank you for that. And, Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord God, these are yours, but I bless them. I love them, Lord God, and I speak life into them right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that you're moving. You're making their path straight. You are ordering each and every step, left, right, left. In Jesus' name, amen.